good. It's good that we received so much encouragement these past few meetings, that the Lord has overcome and that we through Him can also overcome. Praise the Lord for that. But it's also sober and healthy for us to see in which war we are in. This is important. Because the enemy hates us. The devil hates man from the very beginning. He is our enemy. He hates mankind. He's our opponent. And he did so much to destroy us. It started with the enemy separating us from the source of life. God created us to be connected with him, that we are connected to the source of life, that we live by him, that we receive him and live by him, that we are on this earth and rule over this earth. So wonderful. God did everything. And this opponent, he separated us through deception from the source of life. That was his first strategy and the action he took. The first strategy was separate man from God, from the tree of life. And because the enemy was able to separate us from that, so many things happened. The whole human being was corrupted. The whole epistle of Romans shows us how flesh, how the man's flesh was corrupted. The whole man became unuseful for God and landed in total perdition. And that's a system according to which the devil worked. Like Ephesians 6 says, the systematic attacks of the devil. And even today, the devil works with a system. System means he works according to a plan and he works consistently, continuously. Like we read in Revelation 12, day and night. We have an enemy. And day and night he is busy to distract us from the right way, to separate us from the Lord. To destroy us, actually. Day and night he is busy with that. And he does it according to our plan. And consistently. Such an enemy we have. And we know history, how the devil kept on influencing people who wanted to walk with God, how he brought them away from the way of the Lord, that men could not do what God wanted. You know the history of the people of Israel. Then the Lord came, praise the Lord, and he overcame the devil. And the Lord brought forth a new life that can overcome the enemy. And he gave us this new life. Praise the Lord for that. But we still carry this old substance with us. We still carry this flesh with us, the self. And we heard in the past few meetings that the enemy especially uses your flesh and yourself to do his destructive work in all of us and to prevent God from accomplishing his plan. Back then in the book of Acts we see how people were baptized and how they turned to the Lord, and went on with the Lord. And then you had outward persecution. But was that a problem for the church in the book of Acts? Chapter 8, for example, there was a huge persecution. What was the result? Those who were scattered proclaimed the gospel everywhere. And everywhere you had new churches. People were saved from the nations. So this strategy of the enemy was not very successful. Recently, two brothers, Silas and George, were in Turkey. And when they came back, they reported how Christians are persecuted, even until death. And it touched me a lot. But with this strategy, he is not very successful. Because with this strategy, we see the battle. And many times, these Christians that are persecuted, they burn. And the more they are persecuted, the more they are burning for the Lord. That's why the devil changed his strategy. Now he comes in a different way. He uses different ways and means to destroy the church. He comes through your flesh, through yourself. And now he leads this battle from inside of you. We see this in the epistles of Paul in Corinthians, how through flesh and sin the enemy came in to destroy the churches. In Galatians, the enemy brought them back to the law. And this morning we saw Revelation 2 and 3. There were so many problems in the church. They left the first love. They committed idolatry. They love the world. Pergamos is even married to the world. That's where the throne of Satan is. They are married to the world. They have become lukewarm. And the only two churches, Smyrna and Philadelphia, who were not criticized, they also experienced persecution. So the enemy works in a different way. He still fights us. But he fights us by using our fallen flesh, by using ourself. Through that he wants to destroy the churches. And if you look at the church history in the past 2,000 years, you see how the enemy was successful in destroying churches through that, through arguments, enmity, envy, because the Christians have not learned to deny their soul life, to kill the members of their body. Revelation 12:11, they have not loved their soul life until death. They have not loved their soul life unto death. And this has to give us a realization and a warning today and a certain fear that we need to hate our flesh, that we learn to have our flesh crucified. Our flesh destroys the church. With our flesh, God's kingdom cannot be built. And through ourself, the devil has direct influence. God wants to build the church with us. In Matthew 16, the Lord showed very clearly what the enemy should, what the church should be. Matthew 16, verse 18, "And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." This is what the church should be. The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. But how is it if we are in ourselves today? When in the church, the flesh comes out. Are we such a church? Or how much room does the enemy have among us? And this has to give us a feeling in which battle we are today. The Lord wants to build His church. But if we today in the church live in our flesh and in ourself, the enemy has so much access in the church. And that is his strategy. He comes with flesh, self, world, religion, brings that into the church. And we see this very clearly among the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3. Which of these churches is dangerous for the enemy? In one church, you have the throne of Satan. In the other church, the Lord stands before the door and knocks. Are we such a church? Through such a church, the Lord cannot bring His kingdom down to earth. So that's why it's so good that we get a feeling in what kind of a battle we are in. And it is a battle. So one translation in German says, to overcome means to fight a long battle. And you are victorious after a long battle. If we want to overcome today, then we need to be willing to fight. That's why Paul said to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Paul talked so much about this battle. And today we need to be willing to fight this battle as his church. We heard so much in the previous meetings what we need to fight against. The flesh and the self especially. Many times we have no consciousness that when we are in ourself, we open the door for the enemy. We react so much, so unconsciously in ourself, because of a small minor matter, we are insulted. You think, oh, they didn't look at this person, didn't greet me this morning. I'm insulted. I'm in myself. So who then has access to you? It's the devil, the enemy. Or in the meeting, the festal gathering, don't you feel this battle? How the enemy comes to discourage you? In your soul? We should not be naive what the enemy wants to do today. These past few days we had so much fellowship about the spiritual warfare. Yesterday Joanna was attacked in her soul, and she came in the evening and she told me that she realized it was the enemy attacking her, and she started to pray. We need this consciousness. Don't let the enemy rob you and attack you in your soul, but learn to deny your soul life. Have your flesh crucified. We are crucified to this world. It's so important that we exercise this to cast out the devil. That's the fight we fight in our daily life. How many times do I react in my old man? Are you aware that you give access to the enemy with that? And that he can do your work, his work among us? Let us cast out the enemy. This morning we saw this verse. Matthew 16. After this revelation, Peter reacted in his self according to his good soul. He said, Lord, this should never happen to you. So you see how the soul life is against God's kingdom. And we as overcomers, we need to learn to not love our soul life unto death. Amen. That's why we need to walk by the Spirit. and you will surely not commit the deeds of the flesh. And Galatians 5 says, Galatians 5:17, what happens if you want to walk by the Spirit? Yes. Galatians 5:17 shows if you want to walk by the Spirit, you will experience a battle. The flesh will fight against the Spirit and vice versa. And if you want to live in the Spirit, you will experience this fight. Spirit fights against flesh, flesh against Spirit. These two are in conflict with one another. So this is the battle we realize every day. And in this battle we stand and we need a fight. This is what it means to overcome. Let us really fight this battle and destroy the enemy. Oh Lord. There's one verse that touched me a lot recently. Matthew 11, verse 12. What does it say? Matthew 11, verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. The violent take it by force. If we want to build God's kingdom on earth today, then the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. What does it mean? It means you will realize this battle. If you want to follow the Lord, you will get to know this battle. And it says the violent take it by force. If you really want to have something, what do? You take it by force. Likewise, with God's kingdom, it is a battle. Let us take it by force. Amen. It's so important to have this clear vision today that we don't give any room to the devil in the church, but that we cast him out in our soul and in our flesh. And that we live in the Spirit. This is what builds the church. And this is what the battle is about. And if we have exercised this, then we see how the church will cast the enemy away from this earth. These past few days and weeks, I read Psalm 110 a lot and memorized it, because this psalm shows what we need to do as the church today. As a church, we are there to bring God's kingdom on this earth. And if we have learned in our personal life to bind the enemy, to overcome, then also as the church, we will overcome him. Psalm 110 shows us a wonderful picture, a precious picture, how the Lord Jesus will bring his kingdom to this earth. Psalm 110, verse 1, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord ascended and he sits there on the throne. And the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. And then he says, the Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. It's a wonderful picture, because what does it show us? Who will put the enemy to shame, and how will he be put to shame? How does the enemy become the Lord's footstool? The Lord was on this earth, and he already overcame the enemy. He already accomplished the victory. But now he sits on the throne and waits still today, until the enemy has become his footstool. But how does he do it? Here it says, yes, the Lord will send the rod of your strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. That shows the Lord does it through us. If we as the church are Zion today, like Hebrews 12 says, you have come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, the church. If the church today is Zion, when we cast out the enemy, then the Lord, through us, can cast him out of this earth. Are we such a church today? Or do we still wait for what? What do we wait for? The Lord said, your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. This is so precious. To see this wonderful picture today. Today the devil is put under our feet, under the Lord's feet, in Zion and through Zion, and through us, in the beauty of holiness. In the beauty of holiness. You have the dew of your youth. It is so fresh. It shows in what a living relationship, pure, holy relationship the church has to be towards the Lord. Fresh and young, full of life. Out of the dew of your youth. Are we so willing today? Are we willing? Today, tonight you will all say yes. How about tomorrow? When you have to deny your soul life. When the Lord says, let your being insulted, let your discouragement go, let your wrath and envy go. Are you still full of willingness, fresh and living? In such a way the Lord will have his kingdom on this earth. And in such a way we can put the enemy under our feet. Everything the devil did, if we really see this, we need to hate him. Don't you hate the enemy? Yes. So what is stronger, your love for yourself or your hatred towards the enemy? Do you hate him so much that you are willing to leave the world, to let go of the world? Like John says, do not love the world. When you see what the enemy did, how he corrupted us, how he created this world only to destroy us, then we really need to hate him. Then it is so evil. So let us learn to fight this spiritual battle, this good fight of faith. It's not a very tiring battle. It is a battle. But Paul said to Timothy, which was a young brother, fight the good fight of faith. It's a good fight, full of joy, full of willingness, to put the enemy under our feet. The enemy is there to be the sole of our shoes below us. Thank the Lord that we received so much encouragement in the past few meetings. But tonight we need to see the battle and what it's all about. Sometimes we are so unwatchful. We don't see what it's about. We only see our own little word. I only see that I'm insulted. Nothing else. But the Lord shows us what it's all about. Today it's about to cast out the enemy from this earth. The overcomers, how we read in Revelation. The overcomers overcame the accuser of the brethren. This is the victory over the enemy. And this is really in our hands. This is what the Lord wants to give us. And we are so close before it. And it's a privilege that we can be in Zion today. It's so precious to be in Zion. And through Zion, the Lord will really destroy the enemy. And in Zion, first of all, in Zion, the enemy has to be cast out. Zion is a stronghold. The enemy has nothing in Zion. And if we are such a stronghold, then out of Zion, the Lord can send his rod and hit the enemy. That's what the prayer meeting is for. That the Lord can send his rod out of Zion. Many times we are so unequipped, but we are in a war. Think of Ukraine, there's a war. Everybody who's in war, they know they need an armor. But how do we walk around many times? Unknowing, unwatchful. And then the thoughts come. That's why Ephesians 6 says, put on the helmet of salvation. We need the armor of God to resist. Our prayer meeting should be such a battle against the enemy. Also our personal prayer. Don't just pray for your personal problems. The Lord will give us everything. He promised that already. But the battle today is about mankind. It's about the saints. And for Zion, that the Lord can get his kingdom on earth. That the enemy is cast down. So recently, the Lord reminds me, when we have morning watch in the morning, the first thing we do is we pray for the saints. Lord, strengthen the saints, that they are strengthened into the inner man. That's where we need to be. If all the saints are strengthened in their inner man, we can resist the enemy. It's such a burden to pray for the saints, to fight for the saints in prayer, and to watch. And therefore watch, Ephesians says. Pray and watch. Are we watchful? Or how is our condition? We should watch. Otherwise the enemy has an easy game. But if we are watchful and have watchmen on Jerusalem's walls, if we see that the enemy attacks and the enemy comes, we fight for the saints. And we fight, we don't criticize, but we fight for them. We intercede for them. This is what we should do. This is a good fight. Let us build Zion. And cast him out of this earth. This is our privilege. the enemy introduced so many things to destroy us. Also the false prophets, they have done such an evil work among God's people. John 4 verse 4. 1 John 4 verse 4. He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And he says that we overcame him. But in this context he talks about the false prophets. Today there are so many opinions, so many teachers, so much influence, so many people who do not talk according to God's purpose, who don't speak the truth. And what they do is, and what they accomplish, they lead God's people into captivity, into confusion, so that God's people don't stand together anymore against the enemy. That's what the enemy accomplished through so many false teachings and prophecies. For example, that all are raptured. If all are raptured, there's nothing you need to overcome. Then there's no overcomers. There's no need for overcomers. Then we can relax, enjoy this world, and need to do nothing if everybody is raptured among the Christians. It's a strategy of Satan to teach us this lie, to tell us all Christians go to heaven. But in Psalm 2 it says, ask of me and I will give you this earth as an inheritance. This earth is for us. The enemy is happy if you want to go to heaven. We want to gain this earth for the Lord. This earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So the enemy has so many strategies to distract us from the truth, to confuse us. So thank the Lord for all the truth in Zion, where we are focused, where the Lord speaks clearly to us, where we are equipped. But let us really do it. Let us not just hear it, but let us become overcomers and fight this good fight of faith. Amen.